Exactly at 7:20,
Yeah.
and my request to devotees who have joined from one house and two different devices, if they can come together and hear the class, the more people will get in because we have capacity of only 100. So we already crossed, like you know. So Prabhuji in now. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I welcome all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji. Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 31 chapter, 2nd verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, wish to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Today we have an esteemed Vaishnava with us, His Grace Amarendra Prabhu. Amarendra Prabhu is a Diksha disciple of His Holiness Radha Govinda Dasa Goswami Maharaj. He is a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, very well known for his classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. As a disciple, Amarendra Prabhu aspires to practice and preach the message of the scriptures far and wide as much as possible. And in this endeavor, he has traveled to many cities around the world, spreading Krishna consciousness in universities, temple congregations, and social platforms such as YouTube, WhatsApp, and Facebook. As part of his student preaching endeavors, he has also been part of many conferences and has contributed in areas such as interfaith harmony and science and spiritual synthesis. Academically, Amarendra Prabhu is a master's or has a master's in electrical engineering from the University of Massachusetts. And spiritually, he holds a Bhakti Shastri degree from Mayapur. With a sincere heart, he expresses his heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami for being a strong pillar in his life, motivating and guiding him as well as a well-wisher to his family for selflessly sacrificing their personal interest in making him a devotee of the Lord, and to all devotees worldwide who have lovingly nourished and nurtured him in his priceless care, intense prayers, and sincere blessings. So I now hand over the call to you, Prabhu. Thank you for being here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Very kind of you, thank you. I really want to thank all the organizers of this very wonderful platform, the Bhakti Sangha call. Special gratitude to Shyama Gauri Mataji for very affectionately inviting me on this call. Thank you, Tiffany Mataji, for your very kind services. And my obeisances to each one of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are on the call. Thank you for kindly being here today. So we'll get started with our discussion on the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtike Krishna Swadhamopagate Dharma Jnanadibhi Saha Kalau nashta drishame tat puranar ka dhunodita. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So to quickly repeat or to quickly mention the reference of the verse again. There you go. That's Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 2. Yes. Dikshita Brahma Satrena Sarva Bhutatma Medhasa
pratichyam dishi velayam siddho bhut yatra jajali dikshita brahma satrena sarvabhutatma medhasa pratichyam dishi velayam siddho bhut yatra jajali dikshita brahma satrena sarvabhutatma medhasa pratichyam dishi velayam siddho bhut yatra jajali. The word-to-word translation, the general translation, and the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dikshitaha, being determined, brahmasatrena, by understanding of the Supreme Spirit, sarva, all, bhuta, living entities, atma medhasa, considering like one's self, pratichyam, in the western, dishi, direction, velayam, on the seashore, siddhaha, perfect, abhut, became, yatra, where, jajalihi, the great sage Jajali. Now the translation. The prachetas went to the seashore in the west, where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal towards all living entities, this is the theme of today's discussion. So this is the term that we want to pay complete surrender to as far as this reading is concerned. The term that we want to focus for today's discussion is Sarva Bhuta Atma Medhasa. The second line of the four lines. Sarva Bhuta Atma Medhasa. This will be the theme for today's discussion. So Sarva Bhuta means all living beings, and Atma Medhasa means to see as one's own. So basically the theme of today's discussion is developing our vision to see everyone around to be as important as ourselves, to see everyone with equal vision, to see everyone with the same affection with which we will see ourselves. So, coming back to the English translation, after perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal towards all living entities, the prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Interestingly, that's the point Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport about developing equal vision towards everyone on the basis of spiritual cultivation. Purport. The word brahmasatra means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerity are known as Brahma. Vedas tattvam tapo Brahma. Brahma also means the absolute truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of the absolute truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The prachetas properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all living beings. Yeah, here's the point. As Bhagavad Gita 18:54 confirms, Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. Something resonating again. Krishna is making the same point here. Samaha sarveshu bhuteshu. To be equally disposed to every living entity. And in that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. And we'll see this thing comes up again and again in the purport. Prabhupada literally nails it for us. When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. Very simple. So whenever we want to know how spiritually advanced we are, we have to see how biased we are, how easily we take sides with one over the other or one against the other. Very interesting. This one line from the purport can be laminated in our house, When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see difference between one living entity and another. Isn't that a common invisible thread? Whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Sikhism, whether it's the essence of the Vedas, whether it is Bhagavad Gita, whether it is Bhagavatam, whether it is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very simple, very simple. And this is something, if you see, it can resonate with anyone, any age, any cultural background, any nationality, anyone from any country. How do you know when someone is spiritual? He doesn't differentiate. He doesn't take sides. He loves everyone. I was speaking to one friend of mine, I remember, during my master's program. And he was a devout Christian. He loved Jesus. And I asked him about the cross. I was asking him about the act of compassion of Jesus. And then he was telling me, he said something very beautiful, which I pray and hope I never forget. He told me, Jesus was asked how much he loves everyone around. And he went around extending his hands to as much as he could. So that's what it represents. Back to the purport. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Thus, he does not make distinctions between a human being and an animal, a learned Brahmana and a Chandal. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichai vashvapakecha pandita samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and a gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. From the Bhagavad Gita 5:18. Again, a learned person sees everyone equally on a spiritual basis, and a learned person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the Prachetas were residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, for it is indicated that the great sage Jajali attained mukti or liberation there. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called Sadhu Sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakturinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful verse. And this comes in the second canto, first chapter, text 10. Very beautifully, Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the effect or the fruit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Yasya shraddhatamashu syatmukunde matirati. So when one shraddhatam, when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam with faith every single day, then very quickly, ashu, syat, what will happen? Mukunde mati sati. Sati means chaste and mati means intelligence or consciousness. That consciousness which has heard Srimad Bhagavatam has become so chaste and so loyal to Sri Hari that this consciousness will not go anywhere in this world. And even if it goes somewhere in this world, will somehow very brilliantly connect that material circumstance or that material activity or that materialistic person back to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is that form of Sri Hari in the form of sound vibration. Yasya shraddhadatam ashu syat mukunde mati sati. Just by attentively and faithfully, daily, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And how should the reading be? And how should the hearing be? Tat shrunvan supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyam naraha. One should hear very attentively. Tat shrunvan and supathan. One should write down whatever resonates with one's consciousness, whatever one thinks that this is what I am lacking in life. This is the principle that may change my course of sadhana bhakti. Maybe this is the missing link. Maybe this is the missing piece in the jigsaw puzzle of my going back home, back to Godhead. And in this mode of sincerity and in this mode of desperation, with eagerness, with inquisitiveness, when we hear, not passively, but very actively, shrunvan supathan. Patan means to study. Patan means to read. Patan means to write and take notes, to make it as a meditative study. So we must hear and write down important points that we think we should take home from that discussion, and add our thoughts, that these were some thoughts that came to my mind. Maybe I'm going wrong here. Maybe this is the principle I must add. And maybe a couple of examples that may resonate from the discussion, any discussion, irrespective of whoever the speaker is. We are interested in the subject matter. Sometimes the interest is more towards the medium of the katha, more than the katha itself. And that is not very high class. The high class, first class thing is to be attracted to the flow of Ganga. Ganga, wherever she flows, the start of Ganga, Bhagavatam describes, Vasudeva katha prashna, purusham trim punatihi, vaktaram prachakam shrotram yatpadam salilam yatha. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, just like Ganga Devi, wherever she flows, the start of her flow, the origin, Gomukh, Gangotri, or wherever she flows through, and wherever ultimately she meets her destination, all these places are equally pure. So similarly, that place where the Ganga waters of Harikatha originates, that mouth is very pure. And then the assembly through which that Harikatha flows, all those who attentively listen to this Harikatha, they also get purified. And also those who take notes, ask questions, get it clarified, and try to apply in life, they also become purified. So tat shrunvan, we should hear very attentively. And supathan, we should write down and introspect. And vicharana. Now here's the interesting thing. We may hear attentively. We may take down important things that we thought were very useful in the discussion. But the third thing is vicharanam. We don't make an active endeavor to practice what we hear or practice what we even speak. For example, I am speaking all this, but I'm a very theoretical speaker. I don't practice what I'm preaching. Very... The quality of Kali Yuga is living in me, the quality of hypocrisy. So it's very easy for me to speak all this and say all this, but because of my hypocrisy, I don't make an endeavor to practice. But some of you on the call who are very, very sincere may take note of this point, that the Bhagavatam says, complete devotional service will rise in the heart and liberation takes place from material existence. With pure service to Sri Hari manifests when these three things are there. We must hear, we must, like a very very sharp, well-tuned antenna, catch the right frequency of what is the essence of the talk, what is the intention of the speaker, and what points from scriptures are being churned. And most importantly, what can I do to apply them in my life? How can I apply? Suppose we are hearing about Kaliya. We are hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are hearing about Sri Ramachandra. Or it could be a very sweet pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Always the mind should think about, yes, step one, I heard it very attentively. Step two, what is the lesson for me? What is Krishna trying to teach me? How attentive am I to this principle? Is this the missing link on my path of bhakti? I am reading, I am hearing, but is this that piece that will help me make advancement? We should always be attentive like that. And third, also now make a lifestyle change by which that principle can be applied. I was hearing from a senior Vaishnav, there used to be a sadhu during the Gurukul, so I believe it was maybe Treta Yuga or Dwapar Yuga. I don't remember the name of the sadhu. I heard this story long, long ago. Therefore, I'm very poor with remembering these names. So, but the essence of that was that this sadhu guru who had his Gurukul, his style of teaching was very interesting. He would teach his students one sutra, one principle, one aphorism. And then he would let them practice it for as long as 4 years. One principle. He wouldn't teach them anything else. Just one principle. And he would say, now 4 years, practice it. And once they practice it for 4 years, then he will give another sutra. And in this way, over the span of 25 years, 6-7 sutras in the Gurukul Brahmachari life would be given, sufficient enough to go back home, back to Godhead. Everything else would be revealed by bhajan and by sadhana. So this is a very beautiful platform where we are getting a chance to associate, hear, read together. So we are hearing and we are also taking notes. Bhagavatam says the third point is to just introspect and apply it in our life. So let's take this one principle from today's verse. Sarva bhuta atma medhasa. This is one principle. This is a very interesting sutra that this verse is blessing us with. 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is a sun. It's like the sun. Krishnisvadhamopagate dharma jnanadi bisaha. Kalau nashta drishameta purana arka adhuna uditaha. The first canto, third chapter, text 43 describes Srimad Bhagavatam is the very source of blazing effulgence in the dark night sky of Kali Yuga. But as we know, the sun has millions and millions of sun rays. So Srimad Bhagavatam is such a sun that he has 18,000 sun rays in the form of the verses. And each of these verses can be a slit of sun ray into the dark tunnel of our life. Every verse can give us one take home, at least one take home point. So let us focus on this principle of Sarva Bhuta Atma Medhasa. Sarva Bhuta means all living beings. And Atma Medhasa means to see them equally, to see them as important, as dear, as respectable, as lovable as oneself. There used to be a social reformer in India about 200 years ago by the name Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. He was also very greatly popular for his work in Bengali prose. He was also called Ishwar Chandra Bandopadhyay. That was his name, Bengali name. But he was called Vidyasagar because of his very, very sharp intellect and very nice satire. He would give interesting messages through sarcastic satire and very interesting way of presenting it. Vidyasagar, he was considered to be the touchstone of knowledge. So one time what happened was, it's a very interesting real life story. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar was invited for a marriage. So he was about to enter the main hall where the marriage was taking place. And this was the place where, this was a marriage of an elite family, very, very aristocratic and very rich. As we know, about 150 years, 200 years ago, let's put it 150 years ago, the British rule was pretty prominent in India. So the influence of coat and suit and boot and tie and hat, this culture of wearing the British attire was there. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar went in simple dhoti kurta for this marriage. And everyone was dressed in coat and suit and hat and tie. But he was the only one in simple dhoti kurta. So at the doorstep of this big marriage hall, there was a security guard. And the security stopped Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. And he said, what is this? Who are you? And why are you dressed like this? This is not the way you can enter such a premium elite audience of or assembly. So you can't enter. He almost treated him as if he was a roadside beggar. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar was very, very famous and very popular, but somehow the security guard couldn't recognize him. So Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar went home. He now dressed himself very well with coat, suit, boot, tie and hat, and came in a big car to that same marriage arena or that venue. And now that same security, he was offering salute. And he was moving the crowd. And he said, yes, the car must come like this. And he was saluting and he was, you know, like very respectful, even ready to open the door. So Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar got down and the security somehow didn't recognize it's the same person whom 5 minutes ago he asked to leave. So Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar entered the assembly and now after wishing the couple, there was time for food. So everyone was sitting on the table and everyone's eating. So Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar at that time got up. He was in the middle of that assembly. He got up and loudly he started feeding all of the different foodstuffs to his coat and suit and boot and tie. He said, oh, suit, please have this. This is for you. And oh, hat, please have this. This is for you. So people started looking because he was drawing attention. So people started looking at him and started thinking, what's wrong? You know, he's a very, very famous person, but he's acting crazy and very weird. What's wrong? So they came and asked him that, what are you doing? And because this drama went on for some time. So then he smiled and he said, well, I'm not invited to this marriage. This dress is invited because 5 minutes ago when I came in dhoti and kurta, the security didn't let me in. But as soon as the external changed, I was welcomed with a salute, which means I am not the one who is respected. I am not the one who is welcomed. I am not the one who is appreciated in this assembly. It is just my dressing. So if the dhoti and kurta walks in, it's asked to leave. But the coat and suit and boot and tie walks in, oh, it's welcomed with open arms. Therefore, the person who is actually invited to this is this attire. And therefore, it's worthy that I feed this attire. And people started loudly laughing, looking at his sarcasm. And Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar mentioned at that time in that assembly, just like I was the same person then, but I was not accepted. And I'm the same person now, but I'm accepted just on the external. Said similarly, we are all spirit souls and we have different kinds of coverings. Sometimes we have a male body and sometimes we have a female body. Sometimes we have a dog body and sometimes we have a human body. But for those who accept the humans of a certain race or a certain creed or a certain caste or nationality and reject the others, envious of the others, they hate the other, there's racism, there's hate crime, there's distinction based on the color of the skin, on the basis of the nationality that we come in, and so many different labels, material labels that we have put onto the soul. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar said, just like you're all laughing, this is a very deep point of significance, that this is what we also do. The security is teaching all of us this lesson, that this is what we do, that all of us being spirit souls, when they are in a certain attire of a certain body, coming associated from a certain background, we accept them and the others we don't. So it's that the thought in itself is as funny and as foolish as much as the double standard set by the security. So from this, we can understand that whether someone drives a tractor or drives a Mercedes Benz or drives an airplane, the person who's driving inside is still the same. The external size of the vehicle, the color of the vehicle, the specifications of the vehicle may change, but the person driving inside remains the same. So if we start giving respect on the basis or love on the basis of the external, when the external is big and favorable for us, we love and respect it. And when it's small and not in line with our thoughts or our specifications of the box that we want to put the soul in, then we hate that person. So the love must be offered to the driver more than the body of the car. The love must be offered to the person and not the attire of their dress. Similarly, sarva bhuta atma medhasa. If only we can absorb this one principle, that wherever there is life, there is the presence of the spirit soul. How many times have we heard Srila Prabhupada say that we are not this body and we are the spirit soul? In fact, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj once said that Prabhupada said this more than 1,700 times all through his books and his lectures and discussions and morning walks. And then Maharaj said, why did Prabhupada repeat it so many times? Because that is the most fundamental teaching of spiritual life. If we can stop identifying on the basis of the body, well, overcoming bodily conception is a very high topic, or let's say a very high state of realization. But at least the fundamental thing, even theoretically, even intellectually, wherever we see there is movement, whether it's a caterpillar, whether it's a dog, whether it's a pig, whether it's a baby, whether it's a toddler running around, whether it's a senior citizen, whether it's male, whether it's female, whether it's Indian, whether it's African, whether it's American, whether it's Russian, whether it's German, irrespective of whoever, any fish, any bird, any tree, where we see there's movement, there's growth, there's development, just to tell ourselves, oh, that is the presence of the spirit soul. That is the external. And remembering the story of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, if I just bring in distinction on the basis of the external, I am like that security guard. Nothing to laugh at his naive usage of discrimination, because that's what we do, right? So first level of understanding is to understand that all of us are as important as ourselves. Anyone around is as important to us as ourselves. It's all the same. Why? Because everyone is a spirit soul, and every spirit soul belongs to Sri Hari. So all of us, qualitatively and quantitatively, when we compare with each other, we are the same, right? Quality-wise, all of us are Satchitananda. Quantity-wise, we are all the same fragment, coming from the Supreme Lord. So our source is the same, our identity is similar, and also the bodies that we are put in, maybe the shape and the size and the height and the width and all of these things may vary, but we can understand, just like the soul is Satchitananda for all the living beings, similarly the body is made out of earth, water, fire, air and ether, and the subtle body is mind, intelligence and false ego. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtada. So it's very interesting. Anyone we see, any living being, soul, as much of that he or she is as much a soul as much as I am. And also their subtle covering, their gross covering are the same as mine. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, as far as the gross covering, mind, intelligence and false ego as the subtle covering for every living being. So whether we see from the bodily perspective or whether we see from the soul perspective, sarva bhuta atma medhasa, we can see that they're all as much important and as much lovable as ourselves. We can bring in different conferences, we can have different roundtable discussions on bringing world peace and peace in human society and different countries coming together. We can do so many things, but then we still can't solve this problem without spiritual culture, without the roots of spiritual life. You know, what we see around, the plants that we see which bear fruits, that's the beauty of the tree. But what is not seen is the root of the tree, because it's underground. So similarly, what we can see in persons is the external. But what is not seen is the spiritual culture, the Krishna conscious practice that he can in his heart cultivate. So if those roots are strong, if our vision of Krishna conscious spiritual principles are strong, then automatically the fruits will be colorful. The problem is we are discussing big, big things, We're discussing about bringing countries together, the whole world together. But we have to understand one fundamental thing. There cannot be universal brotherhood without universal fatherhood. Without establishing a common father in the center, how can we all say that we are brothers to each other? Then we may talk all that, but we will still fight between states. We will fight over religion. We will fight over languages. We will fight over tradition. Like, for example, India does not have any problem with Zimbabwe, but India has a big problem with Pakistan, right? So much so that in Hindi, the word for fight or attack or a war is Akraman. But I've heard Indians say it's not Akraman, it's Pakraman, because Pak means Pakistan. So, you know, it's some may praise this as a very patriotic feeling, but on the basis of the scriptures, this is just another display of ignorance. Yasya atma buddhi kuna petri dhatuke swadhi kalatradhi shubhauma ijyadi yad tirta buddhi salilena karihichit janeshu abhijneshu sa eva gokharaha. Bhagavatam describes, if someone has these characteristics, one of these characteristics even, then he is considered to be less intelligent. What is that? First characteristic. Yasya atma buddhi kuna petri dhatuke. Instead of considering ourselves to be connected to Krishna, when we see that I am a Hindu, he is a Muslim, he is a Christian, or I am an Indian, he is an American, or I am male, he is a female. When there are considerations or material labels are put on the soul, and one starts believing, yes, that is what it is, then that is a form of ignorance. Second, swadhi kalatradhishu. When we consider people around us to belong to us in this dual mentality that, yes, all of them belong to me, that's my family, but those are strangers, they're outsiders. This mentality in spiritual culture is considered to be the presence of a disease, where we are not able to see the presence of Krishna. This is why in the Bhagavad Gita, the first verse we see, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. When Dhritarashtra asks, my family, my sons and the sons of Pandu. He could have just said our family, but he said my sons and the sons of Pandu. So there's a clear distinction. They are deciding to fight. Now what are they doing? I heard from His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu something very interesting. He said that Dhritarashtra, because he was seeing his family to be his family and that family to not be his family, this is considered to be being spiritually blind. So this is why in the purport Prabhupada says Dhritarashtra was not just materially blind, he was also spiritually blind, because he was devoid of this vision that everyone belongs to Sri Hari. Also, Sripad Madhavananda Prabhu goes on to explain an interesting point in this context. He was explaining that Arjuna told Krishna, Sena yorubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya mechuta. Oh Krishna, please take my chariot in the middle of the battlefield. I want to see who is my enemy, who is my friend. I want to see where my opposition army is, and I want to see where my friendly army is. I want to see where my enemies are. So Madhavananda Prabhu explains, when Arjuna asked that, Krishna took his hand and he waved through the whole assembly. He waved through the Pandavas and the Kauravas, everyone. Arjuna, you're looking for where your enemies are? They're all over the place. So it's almost like Arjuna asked Krishna, Krishna, why are you pointing out to the Pandavas? They are my friends. I'm asking you where my enemies are. So Krishna smiled and he said, your thought of finding enemies is in itself an enemy. So therefore, if you're trying to find enemies, you'll find enemies everywhere, because that enemy lives within you, because it's the mentality of finding friends against enemies, favorable against unfavorable. So this is the start of the Bhagavad Gita. So we were mentioning back to the verse of the Bhagavatam, what are some symptoms of someone who is less intelligent? The second point we mentioned, first point we mentioned, he identifies with the body, with material labels. The second point, he considers everyone around in terms of himself. They belong to me and they don't belong to me. Instead of seeing that everyone belongs only and only to Sri Hari. Third point of ignorance given in the Bhagavatam. Bhauma Ijyadi. If someone considers one's country to be very dear to one's heart, well, from a materialistic perspective, it is very nice, patriotic feeling. I stand on the national for the national anthem, and I respect and salute the national flag. These things are all there. But from a spiritual perspective, a country doesn't become great because I was born in there. For example, this life, if someone is born in Russia, and you ask that Russian that, what do you think is the best country in the world? And he would say Russia. And if you ask an American, he would say America. And you ask an Indian, he would say India. But the same thing, the Russian next life, when he's born in India, and the India who was born in Russia next life, you ask them the same question 20 years later or 50 years later, now their answer differs. The past life Russian born in the present life Indian will now say India is the best. And the past life Indian who is now born as a Russian will say Russia is the best. So to identify and say that the country becomes great because I received my body from this country, of course, we should have gratitude. But ultimately, we should understand that that place where bhajan is done, bhakti is performed, that place is very dear to my heart. And what is another form of ignorance? Yat tirtha buddhi salilena karhiche janeshu abhidnyeshu. Going to the dham, going to spiritual places, but only dipping in the holy water without associating with the great souls. Bhagavatam says this is another source of, or another symptom of ignorance. So as far as those points are concerned, they are out of topic. So we'll keep it for some other discussion. But very, very specifically discussing this point of not seeing differences on the basis of the material front. Couple of days ago, I was hearing His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu mention this very beautiful point. Not beautiful as far as history is concerned, but beautiful in this context of things that we should learn not to do. He was mentioning how the British, when they were ruling India, just to divide the country, they came up with this policy of biting the cartridge, which was greased with cow fat. You know, so that's where the phrase biting the bullet comes from. You see, many times we say, oh, he had to bite the bullet. So where's that phrase coming from? It's coming from this British rule over India. So the British understood that the Muslims couldn't touch pig fat with their tongue. And the Hindus respected the cows, so they couldn't bite cow flesh. So the British, on purpose, they would grease the cartridge with pig fat and cow fat. And they would make the Indians, which means Hindus and Muslims, bite it with their tongue or with their teeth before they actually attack. So this is, again, if you actually see from a British perspective, if they would see everyone related to themselves, they wouldn't torture on the basis of religion only because they're seeing difference, that I'm a Britisher, this is an Indian, and that too, he's a Hindu Indian, he's a Muslim Indian, therefore, this is how we divide and rule. So this is considered to be not intelligent from a spiritual perspective. Also, we see whether it's Stalin, whether it's Hitler, they have killed millions and millions of people. Hitler literally hated the Jews, and millions were killed. For what? Only because lack of this one principle, sarva bhuta atma medasaha. Not being able to see others like oneself. If we understand, yes, I don't like to be killed. I like to live. I want to be happy. Similarly, that's the same principle. They don't like to be killed. They want to live long. They want to be happy. So do unto others as you want others to do unto you. But this principle of sarva bhuta atma medasaha from this verse, when it is not seen, then that is the root cause for all problems. Sometimes people can say, I am a very good human being, right? I'm a very responsible human being. I've been a very good husband. I've been a very good father. I have done everything good for my family. But if he's identifying all of this with respect to himself and not seeing the hand of Krishna, that is like in mathematics, you can perform all the higher calculations really well, You can perform the multiplications, the divisions, the additions, the subtractions, the integral and the differential calculus very well. But if in the first step of your calculation, if you calculated 1 plus 1 equals 3 instead of 1 plus 1 equals 2, there is a fundamental problem in your mathematics, in the arithmetic. And that, even if all the other steps are perfect, still you end up with the wrong answer because the first step of your mathematical problem is wrong. So first of all, when we don't know what our identity is, then naturally we don't know where we belong. Naturally, we don't know who belongs to us and who doesn't. And naturally, we don't know how to deal with people in this world. So we could be very good husbands and wives and sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. That's all like the higher mathematical calculation. But in the first step, we don't even know our identity. We don't know that we belong to Krishna. If only we knew we belong to Krishna and that everyone belongs to Krishna, then we understand we are all one family. And therefore, I have to deal with everyone with love, respect, and affection. Because this one fundamental principle is forgotten, you ask someone, who are you? They will identify with their name, which is given by their parents in that specific body. They will say their nationality. They will say their cultural, ethnic background. And they will talk things all related to the body. But actually, those are things which are temporary. 50 years ago, that wasn't the answer to who are you. And 100 years from now, that wouldn't be the answer to the question, who are you? But if there is an answer which doesn't change 50 million years ago and 50 million years ahead, that is, I am a spiritual spark. One principle that we all can tell ourselves is, please repeat wherever you are listening onto this call. Please, we're all on mute, so there's no interference. Please loudly repeat this. I am not a human being. I am not a human being. Well, some of us are confused. What? I am not a human being? No. The completion of the slogan is, I am not a human being with a spiritual experience. I am a spiritual being with a human experience. I am not a human being first who has a spiritual side in me. I am actually a spiritual being who has a human side in me. So that is a total paradigm shift. That's a total change of identity. And now when that is changed, you can see even apparent opposites come together and affectionately deal with each other. Like in ISKCON, we can see there are devotees who have a Jew background. There are devotees who have a German background. But they don't relate to each other on the basis of the past or what happened 3, 4, 5 generations ago. They sit together and honor Krishna Prasad together. You could have a German devotee and a Jew devotee sitting next to each other. You could have someone in Pakistan who has had an Islamic background in a temple. And next to him would be maybe a Hindu Indian. Now, if they were on a cricket stadium, they would fight, right, over the flag. But because they are in a temple with Krishna in the center and they have forgotten their identities, they're sitting together and lovingly talking to each other. Prabhupada, when he came to America and started speaking, Prabhupada said to the young American boys and girls who joined him, Prabhupada said, I left India for you and you left American culture for me. That in itself shows we have something way more deeper in common than just the external nationality. I left the Indianness behind for you and you left the American society for me. So which means we are connected on a higher principle. Again, a couple of days ago, I was listening to this very interesting story. Again, all of this illustrating the same point of Sarva Bhuta Atma Medasaha. Only to have the vision that everyone else around us is dear to us, is as dear to us as we are to ourselves. So another point that I was hearing a couple of days ago was the very interesting story of Shyam Sundar Prabhu, a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. When Shyam Sundar Prabhu came to Mumbai and he was visiting Radha Gopinath temple and he was chanting in the morning and walking on the beach. He was taking his stroll and chanting Hare Krishna and walking. He said that one fine day he saw a Muslim couple. They were
very sincere and strict, serious practitioners of the Quran and the Islamic culture. So they were walking towards him. As we know, there are so many people walking back and forth on the seashore. So he was walking on the beach and they were also walking past. And Shyamasundara Prabhu with Tilak and Kanti Mala and a bead bag looks at them. And they are like with a skull cap and you know, with proper Islamic attire. So externally speaking, now they're seems to be very different, right? But Shyamasundara Prabhu looked at them and said, Assalamu alaikum. You know, that's the greeting according to the Islamic culture. And they looked at Shyamasundara Prabhu, folded their palms and said, Hare Krishna. And Shyamasundara Prabhu on the Vyasasana Radha Gopina temple said, look, I come from a different country. I'm practicing in a different country here. And they are from a different religious background. But only because we could connect to each other on a higher principle, that as much as I am dear to Sri Hari, you are dear to Sri Hari. But as much as I am dear to Allah or God, so much are you dear to Allah or God. So therefore, on that principle, when we connect that we are one family, the externals may be different. We have different paths maybe to reach the same destination. But ultimately, we belong to the higher principle. So when we connect like that, he said, look, they chanted Hare Krishna. If I would have related to myself as myself and them as them, that interaction would have never taken place. So I really like that point. So I thought of, adding and incorporating that in today's discussion. So in the Bhagavad Gita also, we see Krishna mentions that everyone belongs to him. Aham bija pradaha pita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father. I am the loving, protecting father for all living beings. Not just human beings, even animals. Now, sarva bhuta atma medasa in this verse doesn't just mean dealing with love with all human beings. It means even with animals, even with birds, which means with this one principle, you can't use leather. With this one principle, you can't meat eat. With this one principle, you can't fight over religion. With this one principle, you can't have animals on your plate. With one principle, you can't hurt, you can't hunt. With this one principle, you can't have bullfights for entertainment. With this one principle, so many evils are knocked out of the window. Just with this one principle, that don't treat them as products. Don't look at them as commodity. Only because this principle is not seen. Cows are going under the blade every single day. Millions and millions of cows. Those cows which in Vedic culture are bathed on Gopuja, on the day of Gopuja, and horns are painted, and that cow who is lovingly patted and taken care and brushed, and milk is given by that cow in the form of the mother. The cow is one of the seven mothers. And that mother, that cow, is seen as a commodity, is seen as a product, is seen as some entitled object that I can squeeze happiness out of, and is killed in millions, only because we don't see the soul, the cow, as dear to ourselves as ourselves. Sarva bhuta atma medasa principle is taken away. Therefore, so many problems are seen. All the different kinds of violence that we see to animals is seen because of this one principle. All the hate crimes that we see, all the racism that we see, all the nuclear talks, the fights over countries. What to speak of fight over countries? In the same country, over religion. You're a human being, I'm a human being. But just because you happen to take birth in a different family, I happen to take birth in a different family, swords are taken in the sky, and there's bloodshed all over the place. This kind of massacre has been seen in the past only because of lack of this one principle. So as a take-home practice, one thing that we can apply is every time we see anyone, we repeat, sarva bhuta atma medasaha. Sarva bhuta atma medasaha. That this person is a spiritual spark very dear to Krishna. Krishna really loves this person. Whether it's my wife, whether it's someone's child, whether it's someone's father, whether it's just maybe a bird sitting on the window as we are speaking, maybe there's a bird sitting here.
and it's trying to fend for its own worm early in the morning to get to its nest for its kids. Krishna loves the bird. Krishna loves the caterpillar. Krishna loves every fish. Krishna loves every being. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu very beautifully mentions, I was hearing this another day in a class. Prabhuji was mentioning, this is a very interesting point. He was saying, when you look at a phone, you're looking at the phone's not looking at you. Now, this is such an interesting point. He said, you're looking at this, wait a minute, this MP3 player, you're looking at it, but the player is not looking at me. I am looking at this pen, but the pen is not looking at me. And he mentioned a few things. And then he said, now please look around. Look around to other devotees. And all the devotees in the room were looking around. And His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu said, when you look into the eyes of another human being or another living being, there is someone there looking through the window of their eyes into you. Something is looking back, right? Here, nothing's looking. Even if I paint eyes, nothing's looking back at me. Such a deep point. But when I look at a living being, the living being looks at me. There is something, someone who's looking back at me. Vaisheshika Prabhu said, every time you see the eyes meet, remember this is Krishna. This is the spark coming from the Supreme Lord. Such a beautiful point. I felt that is something that we all can practically, maybe we may forget it. Maybe we may not realize it. Maybe we may not experience it. But because great souls are speaking out of experience, this is something that we can at least intellectually, at least theoretically apply. Maybe sometimes we fail. Maybe sometimes we succeed. No problem. It's better. Baby steps. One step at a time. And we make advancement. And then when consciousness develops and fructifies more and more and more, first step, we see the person to be a spiritual being. Second step, we see the person connected to Krishna. This is the second step of Sarvabhuta Atma Medasaha. Dear devotees, there are three steps in which we can see this. First step, we see everyone as spiritual spark. This is Sarvabhuta Atma Medasaha. First principle, wherever we see life, we tell ourselves. That is the holy presence of the spiritual spark. The deity whom I am worshipping in the altar, the paraphernalia of that deity is also very dear, is it not? Very dear. So like if I have an Achman cup, I'm not going to keep an Achman cup on the floor. I'm not going to touch the Achman cup with my feet. I'm not going to keep the Achman cup in an impure place, because that which is connected to the deity is also pure. The bell used for offering, I'm not going to keep it in the refrigerator, for example, because that's not the right way to worship that paraphernalia. Because that which is connected to the deity is also holy. So now here's the interesting meditation. Krishna is the deity and all living beings are the paraphernalia. So if I have to respect the deity, I have to respect the paraphernalia. How can I respect Krishna and criticize and kill and destroy the paraphernalia? Imagine a devotee who says, I am a head pujari. And he's the one seen breaking bells. Breaking peacock feather fans, breaking different paraphernalia. You think that he's a good pujari? He's not a good pujari. Although he may do the mantras very well, Gandha Pushpa Dudip Naivedya very well, but he lacks the vision of connecting the paraphernalia to the deity. So similarly, Natat Bhakteshu Chanyeshu Tad Bhakta Prakrita Smritaha. The 11th canto Bhagavatam describes, he who sees Krishna in the deity but doesn't see living beings around connected to Sri Hari as the spiritual spark, that person is not a very good pujari. Because he's worshipping the deity, Krishna, but Krishna's paraphernalia is found in the form of 8.4 million species and many more, because so many millions are there in each species. So every time we see a bird, every time we see a tree, every time we see a human, every time we see an ant, every time we see a caterpillar, every time we see a bird fly, that's a paraphernalia of Krishna's creation. So the first step to see Sarva Bhuta Atma Medasaha, everyone is a spiritual spark. Second step to see even higher is to see not just seeing the living entity as a spiritual spark or a spiritual being, but to see that person now connected to Krishna. And because there is love for Krishna, there will be love for everything that emanates from Krishna. I'll give you an example. I was speaking to one Indian gentleman who has been in America for about 50 years. He's a Gujarati devotee from a Gujarati background. So he was telling me, now he's in his 70s. He said, when I came to America, there was hardly anything. The reason I said Gujarati is because we were speaking in connection to the Indian store, the Patel Brothers, which is chain of stores, you know, by Gujaratis. So this Gujarati devotee was telling me that when I came to America, there were no Patel Brothers and there were no Indians even. It was very difficult for me. And then he said, after many, many weeks, I saw one individual. And I went to him and I said, are you an Indian? And he looked at me and he said, yes. Are you also an Indian? I said, yes. And then I went and I mustered the courage to ask him, are you a Gujarati? And he said, yes, I'm a Gujarati. Are you a Gujarati? And in this way, he said, we started speaking. And then both of us found many other friends, etc., etc. And he continued the discussion. But I remembered this sentence of his, that I couldn't find anyone for many, many weeks from the same background. But when I saw for the first Indian, the first Gujarati in a foreign land 50 years ago, when there's no internet, there's no GPS, you can't find things around as easily as we do today. He said, I felt very, very happy. Dear devotees, this is the meditation. All of us are in a foreign land. We are in a foreign land of this material world. And we should feel ecstatic when we find someone who comes from our homeland. That is, if we see someone who's a spiritual being coming from the spiritual realm of the Supreme Lord's abode, oh, we should feel more happier than what that devotee was explaining 50 years ago that he felt. Which means when we see a spiritual being here, whether in the form of male or female or children, we should feel very happy because that person in the world of matter, that person is a spiritual spark coming from the same source where we come from, that is Sri Krishna. I don't know if I could explain the example properly, but I was just trying to connect the fact that the senior devotee, the one from a Gujarati background, was mentioning in a foreign land like America, he felt very happy when he found an Indian coming from his homeland. So similarly, this material world is also a foreign land, and the spiritual realm is our homeland. And every spiritual spark, every living being comes from there, belongs to Sri Krishna. So we should feel very happy when we see someone from our homeland in a foreign land. So the second step is to see the spiritual sparks connected to Krishna. And we see so many examples for that. We see the famous example of Mrigari. Mrigari was called Mriga Ari. Mriga means animals, very specifically deer. And Ari means enemy. So Mrigari had this tendency of half killing the animals for sadistic pleasure. He wouldn't hunt them down completely. He would hunt them half. And he would love in a sadistic pleasure, with sadistic pleasure, to see them struggle through death. So when Narad Muni came to Mrigari, we can read the story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Narad Muni inspired Mrigari to chant the holy name. And then Mrigari became such a great devotee. When Narad Muni was walking past the same area with Angira Muni, here was Mrigari hip-hopping and jumping from one place to another. Narad Muni said, what are you doing? Mrigari said, there are so many ants on the floor. They all belong to Krishna. I don't feel like stepping over them. So I'm just jumping over to make sure that I don't kill anyone. So that person who was enjoying to half kill animals now was not just seeing them as spiritual sparks, because if he was seeing them as spiritual sparks, that understanding would not be complete. That's one level of understanding. But going ahead is connecting that spiritual spark to the source, that is Krishna. So because he was developing love for Krishna, he was naturally developing love for every aspect of Krishna's creation, every part of Krishna's manifestation, every creation from the Creator. So now he was jumping so that he doesn't kill even ants. We see the same example in the story of Jadabharat. When Jadabharat was carrying King Rahugana, now this is found in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very briefly the story, we can get to the point of the story where Jadabharat was carrying the palanquin of the king. Maharaj Rahugana was a big king and Jada Bharat was carrying. He was a very strong, very intelligent person, but he was acting dull just so that he doesn't have to interact with anyone material in this world. So he was carrying a palanquin, carrying the king on the palanquin. And other servants, they were carrying it straight and properly and sturdy and steadily. But it was Jada Bharat who was moving, taking left to right and left to right. And the king's palanquin was also moving. So King Rahugana said, "Hey, what are you doing?" So Jada Bharat would say that, "Oh, there are a lot of ants on the floor." And then later in the discussion between the two, Jada Bharat said that today you are the king. Tomorrow you may become the ant. Today this is the ant and tomorrow this ant may become the king. This is a very temporary position. Ultimately, all of us are spiritual sparks, spiritual beings belonging to Krishna, Sri Hari. We may take different external positions, but the respect must be given to every living being, irrespective of whatever body they are living in. Like, for example, if ex-president Barack Obama goes in a small car, right? He's still going to be respected, right? Irrespective of whichever car he's sitting in, we still respect because he's the ex-president for the country. So the respect is given not on the basis of the size of the car, but on the position of the passenger inside who's moving. So the body may be challenged, maybe short or tall or thin or fat or whatever may be the specifications of the vehicle that we are moving in. But the person, the passenger is so important because he is someone whom Krishna loves the most. So with that respect, we can deal with others. So we can see here Jada Bharat also seeing ants as part and parcel of Krishna. Mrigari seeing the ants, seeing part and parcel of Krishna. We can see another example of Valmiki Muni. Valmiki Muni, before he was Valmiki, he was a thief by the name Ratnakar. And then he was uplifted by Narada Muni and made into a very great devotee by the name Valmiki, who wrote the Ramayana. And that Valmiki Muni was chanting. He was chanting the name of Ramachandra. And there was ant hill formed all over his body and the ants were eating the skin, but he would continue to chant the name of Ram, not being affected, not being trying to move the ants. He was thinking, well, my body, maybe it's the source of food for the ants. So let it be. That belongs to Sri Hari. That he who was murdering others to get their wealth previously now became so great that he would let ants eat his body to meditate on Sri Ram, only because he could see even the ants now in connection to Krishna. So this is the second level of Sarva Bhuta Atma Medhasa, where we are ready to sacrifice for others, seeing them to be very dear to Krishna. Jivera Dukha Dekhi Mora Ridaya Bidare Sarva Jivera Papa Prabhu Deha Mora Shire Jiver papa laya mui karo naraka bhog sakala jiver prabhu guchhao bhavaro. Vasudev Datta tells Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Oh my lord, I am like a small insignificant servant, but I have a very significant desire." What is that significant desire? "My lord, jivera dukkha dekhi mora hridaya bidare. My heart is trembling looking at the suffering of others. Therefore, sarva jivera pape prabhu deho murashire." If you're saying they're all struggling because of their own sins, my lord, my significant desire is, please give all those sins on my head. And jivera papa lai mui karo naraka bhog. Jivera papa laya mui karo naraka bhog. Because of the weight of their sins, you please push me to hell and let me suffer. And sakala jivera prabhu ghuchao bhavarog. Please purify them and take them back to your spiritual abode. They're really struggling a lot. So you see, this is another extreme altogether. When we don't see the spirit soul, we are trying to exploit. We may externally say, "Yes, you're so good, you're so nice, I really appreciate, etc." But in the heart, we know, only till the time you're useful to me, I will keep you in the company and say all these words. But as soon as you're not giving the results that the company needs, finished. You're fired. Then no longer will I say, I really appreciate. Oh, thank you so much. You're so kind. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. All these things don't come anymore. They were all coming till the time I can suck the juice out of your hard work for my pleasure. So that's one extreme where forget about the soul. We are seeing that person as a commodity for my pleasure. And then as consciousness develops, we see soul. Then consciousness further develops. We see the soul connected to Krishna. And now we are seeing an extent, which is the other side of the spectrum, where for their suffering, I am ready to suffer. Instead, you make them happy. My Lord, please protect them. Take all their suffering away and give that suffering onto my head. I cannot see them suffer like this. This is the mood of Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta said, the whole world is struggling, my Lord. Please, all their sins because of which they're struggling, you put it in my account and send me to Naraka. Let me suffer. But you kindly accept them. You kindly take them back to the spiritual world. Let me suffer for their sins. We see the example of this mood in Lord Shiva also. In the 8th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, when the churning of the milk ocean took place and the poison, the halahala wish, the poison started spreading. Lord Shiva was ready to drink poison to protect others from dying. Now, who in this world will do that? Who is that person in this world? He is told, either you have to drink poison or he has to drink poison. We'll say, well, you know, maybe it's his karma. I don't know. Maybe he did something wrong. Maybe he has to go through that punishment. I think I should stay away from this. This is what we may think. But Lord Shiva is thinking, who was churning? Demigods are churning. With whom? Demons. Churning what? Milk ocean. Lord Shiva is nowhere in the picture. Nowhere. Who's protecting? Kurmadev. Lord Shiva could have thought that Kurmadev who has instructed them and that Kurmadev who is protecting or he's upholding the hill, the Mandarachala mountain, he will protect. Why should I put my hand into fire? But Lord Shiva readily, he started drinking poison to protect others. Now, if he couldn't see Krishna's presence there as spirit soul, it's not possible. He who loves Krishna, he loves the whole creation because everything, anything and everything is connected to Sri Hari. Ayam nijah parovetti gananam laghuchetasam udara charitanam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. How beautiful. The mentality that I am nijah, this is mine, and parovetti, and that belongs to you. Nijah and para, this belongs to me, that belongs to you. This kind of mentality, I am nijah parovetti gananam, this kind of calculation, laghuchetasa is that of those who are very narrow-minded, that this belongs to me, this belongs to you. That's your property, this is my property. You don't step into my property. Trespassers will be prosecuted. This is very narrow-minded thinking. But as far as the broad-minded, intelligent devotees are concerned, udara charitanam tu vasudha eva kutumbakam. Those whose consciousness has been completely colored with the paintbrush of bhakti for the Supreme Lord, they consider the whole world to be their family. You see, those in our ISKCON movement, we can go to India, we can go stay in America, we can go to Australia, we can go to Europe, and we meet devotees and we feel as if we are at home. This culture Prabhupada gave us, you can walk in any temple, you can go to any city, you still get the same prasadam, you get the same culture, you get the same kind of devotees. So you never feel that you're in a foreign land. And this is the right understanding of someone who has sarva bhuta atmamedasa, who sees Krishna's presence everywhere. The whole world becomes his family. He doesn't say, this is mine and this is not mine. So this is the mode of Lord Shiva. He is ready to drink poison himself to protect the poison spreading into others' lives. Another example we can see of this kind of selflessness in the Bhagavatam is Dadhichi Muni. Dadhichi Muni in the 6th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, very interesting story. We can see that Vishnu asked Indra to make a weapon, a thunderbolt weapon, out of the body of Dadhichi Muni. Dadhichi Muni was a great saint. And Indra comes to Dadhichi Muni and he says, in our fight with Vritrasur, we need a weapon. And that weapon must be made with the bones of your body. So can you just die? And Dadichi Muni, without a second thought, he gives up his body to offer the bones of his body for making a thunderbolt to fight the demon. So that body, which is very dear to all of us, if we all have a fear, which is number one fear on our fear list, that is death. That is the soul leaving the body. And Dadichi Muni gave up his body only for the benefit of Indra. Dadichi Muni could have said, well, you just settle it between yourselves. Like, why are you coming and troubling me? I'm a Muni. I'm supposed to just meditate and worship the Supreme Lord. But Dadichi Muni thought, oh, because of me, you're having some trouble. So if I give you my body, the bones of my body, will that pacify you? Oh, sure, I will. Without a second thought, Dadichi Muni gave up his life. Haridas Thakur, those tormentors, those prosecutors who were beating him, whipping him black and blue in 22 marketplaces, they started weeping and crying, telling Haridas Thakur that if you don't die, our superiors will think that we didn't beat you enough and they will kill us. So generally when people are whipped in by the time they reach the sixth marketplace, they're already dead. But it's been 22 marketplaces. We are whipping you in every marketplace and dragging you like a dead animal, but you don't seem to die. So now they will think that we were, you know, very lenient and we didn't hit you enough, whip you enough. And Haridas Thakur at that time, he who didn't leave his body till now, starts thinking, oh, because of me, you're having some trouble, or you will be happy and you will not have trouble in your life if I give up my body, no problem. And Haridas Thakur, through samadhi, he gives up his body. Now, we don't have to give up our body, but while being in this body, we must learn to treat everyone properly. Seeing them as spiritual beings, sarva bhuta atma medasa, point number one. Seeing them connected to Krishna, the paraphernalia of Krishna, dear to Krishna, sarva bhuta atma medasa. And third principle, even better if possible, if we could do something to, so instead of causing pain in the lives of others, if we could do something to reduce their pain, we should be very, very eager. Not just human beings, even others. We see the example of Shibi Chakravarti. Shibi Chakravarti was a very great king in the Chandra Vamsha, in the Lunar dynasty. And Shibi Chakravarti is known for his very magnanimous heart. And one story is a standout story in Shibi Chakravarti's life. So King Shibhi or Shibhi Chakravarti, his fame as a magnanimous king had spread even up to Indralok. So now what happened? One fine day in the forest, Shibhi Chakravarti was hunting. He was walking around, doing his duty. At that time, it's described that one pigeon or a dove came asking for help. Ask the king, I really need help. There's an eagle or a hawk which is chasing me. I need your protection. And the king said, anyone who comes to take protection of the king, it's the duty of the king to protect. So you hide behind me, I will protect you from the hawk. So the hawk came in and said, oh, king, move. You're coming between me and my food. You know, that pigeon or that bird is actually my food. I'm supposed to live off it. The king said, no, that bird's taken shelter of me, so it's my duty to protect him against you. So the hawk said, oh, you're thinking about his life. What about my life? I have to also survive. I have to also eat. What do I do? If you protect him for his life, then how are you going to protect me for my life? You better give me the bird or I will have to snatch. The king said, you cannot snatch because you can't fight me. And I'm not going to give you the bird because it's my duty to protect him. But at the same time, it's my duty to protect your life too. So you want to eat something? No problem. I promise you, I will give you flesh from my body. And I will give you flesh from my body, which equals the weight of that bird. How about that? The hawk agreed. Now they got a scale, a balance scale. And on one side, they kept the bird, the dove. And on the other side, Shibi Chakravarti, he took his knife. And he started chopping lumps after lumps from his thighs, with blood oozing from his thighs. And he started placing it, the piece of flesh, on the other side of the scale. And guess what? The weight of the bird was mysteriously very, very heavy. And he chopped off all the lumps of both his thighs and his calves. And he was even chopping off portions of his hands, and it still wasn't matching. And at that point, Shibi Chakravarti said, "Now nothing is working. Oh, hawk, I sacrifice myself. Let me kill myself, and you can eat me, but leave the bird behind." When he went to place the knife on his throat, at that time, the hawk and the dove both came in their original forms as Indra and Agnidev themselves, the god of fire. They both appeared and they profusely blessed Shibi Chakravarti. They said, "What magnanimity. To save the life of a bird, you're ready to give up your life. Only because you're able to see the spark of divinity there. You're able to see Krishna's very dear paraphernalia in the form of the spirit soul there. How much love." So we are very, very, we are very happy and very pleased with this mindset of yours. So Shibi Chakravarti was profusely blessed. You see here, now he was ready to even sympathize with the pain in the eyes of a bird. What to speak of Shibi Chakravarti? Shri Hari himself, in his Damodar Leela, when he appeared, he was ready to be bound himself, but he couldn't see the pain of the trees being bound. That he walked crawling with his wooden grinding mortar, completely caught between the Yamalarjuna trees. Krishna himself could not free himself of the suffering of being bound there. But he pulled the two trees and liberated them from their bound up, entangled existence. So Krishna is teaching us, if that's how much the Supreme Lord thinks, putting himself secondary, thinking of the pain of the trees, how much more as the devotees of the Lord, who are considered and expected to be more merciful than the Supreme Lord, how much they are supposed to respect and sympathize and lovingly deal with affection with everyone around. And then with Vaishnavas, it's a different realm of different rules of mathematics in itself. And then to criticize the Vaishnavas is the greatest form of ignorance, of not seeing Krishna's presence. To see Krishna's presence in trees and birds is what we are discussing. Ready to give up one's life to protect them is what we are discussing. And more so to serve the human beings and affectionately, respectfully deal with them. And how much more with Vaishnavas, who are actually not just a spark of the Supreme Lord, they are moving temples. Krishna is manifest in their heart completely. And now we go and break those temples and criticize the Vaishnavas. How can we say that we are devotees? How can we say we are devotees? Sarva bhuta atma medasa. This one principle from this verse, it can take us from this world to that world. And if this one principle is forgotten, it will take us from this world to the world below in the lower consciousness of life. So if you have a sadhu and we are busy worshipping his lotus feet and doing foot bathing, but we also keep him on gunpoint, do we think that's a very good proposal of worshipping a sadhu? Definitely not. If we are worshipping his feet, that shows respect. But at the same time, we are keeping him on gunpoint. So this is not proper respect. As crazy as this example sounds, that's how crazy Vaishnava Parad is. Because we are worshipping the feet of the Lord, which means in the form of the deity, we are worshipping Krishna. But we are keeping gunpoint on the head of the deity, which means the Vaishnavas. So Krishna is present in the deity also. Krishna is present in the heart of the jiva also. But we are worshipping the deity. That's like washing the feet of the sadhu and criticizing the Vaishnavas and making them cry. That's like keeping the sadhu on gunpoint. What kind of worship of Krishna is this? This is not first class. So in this way, we can see so many classes. First level, to overcome the bodily, theoretically at least, intellectually at least, to overcome the different duality as far as the bodily structure is concerned. And to understand, beyond all of this, we are all spiritual sparks looking for the same source of happiness. Step number one. Step number two, now to go deeper and to say, not just spiritual spark, they belong to the same Krishna whom I belong to. And step number three, when devotion for Krishna is developed, automatically there is devotion for every aspect of Krishna's presence, whether it is the deity, whether it is the jiva, whether it is Ganga Devi, whether it is his holy name, whether it is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the different manifestations of that same Krishna. So there is love. And not just love, there is a sense of, let me suffer for his pleasure. Let me suffer to protect him. That kind of extreme sacrifice is seen. Therefore, we see even Chanakya Pandit, when he was asked, how do you understand a true intelligent person in this world? He said, Matravat paradaryeshu, paradravyeshu laushtravat, sarvabhuteshu atmanam, yopashyati sa pandita. He who considers the wife of another man to be one's mother, he who considers another man's wealth to be as indifferent to another man's wealth as we would be indifferent to stones on the street. And three, he who considers the pleasure and pain of others to be the pleasure and pain of the self. Going to help them in the form of, as an act of compassion when they need help. And when we are happy, we share the happiness with them. And in their happiness, we become happy. In their struggle, we struggle. So therefore, Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava is he who is paradukha dukhi. By looking at the dukkha, the suffering of others, his heart becomes sorrowful. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, paradukhe sukhi sada mithya bhashi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the conditioned soul is exact opposite. By the happiness and success of others, he becomes very sad. How is it that he is making advancement? How is it that he is successful? And by the distress in others' life, he will think, yeah, I mean, I can't say anything. He deserved it. He misbehaved with me. This is what he did to me. So, well, I'm not wishing anything bad for him, but Krishna is the judge. Krishna gave him what he deserved. This is how we speak. Instead of sympathizing that actually he didn't deserve this, but Krishna, why is he going through this? Let me chant more for him. Let me serve him. Let me help him. So only one who extends himself to others like that, in that mood of not just philanthropy. Well, the philanthropists also do it. They extend themselves to others. But still they're doing all of that without seeing the connection to Krishna. So our life becomes successful when we can connect everyone, everything, every circumstance to Sri Hari. Sarva bhuta atma medasaha. This vision should be there. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna says, Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichai vashvapakecha pandita samadarshina. Again, to see everyone with equal vision that my Lord is living in their heart. Mama mana mandire raho nishidina Krishna murari, Sri Krishna murari. Oh Krishna, please live in the temple of my heart. Like you're living in the temple of everyone's heart, you please live in my heart. Antara mandire jago jago Madhava Krishna Gopal. Madhava Krishna Gopal. Antara mandire Antara mandire jago jago Madhava Krishna Gopal. Oh Krishna, antara mandire jago jago. Just like you're living in the hearts of everyone, please live in my heart also. Actually, Krishna's living in his heart. That's why he's able to see Krishna in everyone's heart. In fact, a pure Vaishnav can see everyone connected to Krishna. One time, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was asked this question. An Uttam Adhikari Vaishnav, how can he see everyone connected to Krishna? His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj very beautifully explained that a pure Vaishnav can see that those who are devotees, they are serving the internal energy of Krishna. And those who are karmis, they are serving the external energy of Krishna. But look at me, I am useless. I don't have taste materially also and spiritually also. I am not able to serve the internal energy of the external energy also. And in this way, the pure Vaishnava can see even the materialist in connection to Krishna, and the materialist also better than himself. So in this one principle of sarva bhuta atma medasaha, So many beautiful spiritual points can be made and progress can be made. This principle has been carried forward to throughout Shastra. We can see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati. He who sees me everywhere, Tasyaham na pranashyami, sachame na pranashyati. That he who can see me everywhere, I am never lost to such a person. So if we don't want to lose Krishna, this principle of Sarvabhuta Atma Medasaha, here Atma means the soul, seeing everyone like oneself, or Atma can also mean Paramatma, seeing Krishna only coming in different forms. Because pure Vaishnavas have that vision. They don't see anything. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra hoy nija ishta deva spurti, sarva bhuteshu atmanam yo pashyati sa panditaha. He can see Krishna. Sarva bhuteshu yah pashyet bhagavan bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavatyatmani eshaha bhagavatottama. The Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavatam, they describe this final stage of vision. First stage we mentioned of seeing everyone as the spiritual spark, at least intellectually. Second stage we mentioned everyone connected to Krishna. Third stage we mentioned now their problem, for their suffering, I am ready to suffer. That's another level of compassion. And the fourth is a state of intoxication seen in the residents of Vrindavan, where they see Krishna only. They don't even see trees. They don't even see water. They don't see the Jamuna. It's like Madhavendra Puri. He looks at the rain cloud and he remembers Shama Sundar, Megha Shama. Now, if you, from a materialistic perspective, if you see that rain cloud has nothing to do with Golok Vrindavan. But Sripad Madhavendra Puri looks at the rain cloud. Oh, this is Ghana Shyam. This is Megha Shyam. This is Navajaladhara Shyam. And he would fall down unconscious. Even the gopis of Vrindavan, they would look at the trees. They would look at Jamuna. And they would say, oh, I wish I had that love that Jamuna has. I wish I had that love that the tree has. Actually, the tree is moving because of the breeze. But the gopis are saying, look, the tree is moving in happiness hearing the flute sound of Krishna. Oh, the tree is now blossoming because of natural development, and fruits and flowers are blossoming. And there's honey dripping on the trunk of the tree. And the tree is bending because of the weight of the fruits. But the gopis in Vrindavan, they're saying, look at the tree. The tree has so much pleasure from his family. There is someone selected by Krishna, that is the flute, to always rest on the asana of Krishna's lips. So therefore, the trees are very, very happy. And naturally, they're moving and dancing in happiness. And tears are coming down in the form of honey dripping down the trunk. And in happiness, hair is standing on end in the form of fruits and flowers. And it's not the weight of the fruits that the tree is bowing down. The tree is bowing down repeatedly, thanking Krishna. Thank you for accepting the flute from our family. Now the tree is moving by Yoga Maya Shakti. But the gopis are superimposing their gopi bhav on everything that they see. This is Sarva Bhuta Atma Medasaha. They are seeing Krishna in all forms. Even in Rai Ramananda Samvad, we can see Mahaprabhu is trying to test Ramananda Rai. He's sitting in front of Ramananda Rai as a sannyasi. And then suddenly he becomes Shyama Sundar and he starts playing the flute. And Ramananda Rai looks. And then as Ramananda Rai is looking closely, again he becomes sannyasi. He's sitting there on the banks of Godavari. And then as Ramananda Rai is speaking, again he starts playing the flute as Krishna. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Ramananda Rai looked at Mahaprabhu. Pahila dekhile tumar sannyasi swarup, ebi tuma dekhe moi shama goparup. What is happening? First I am seeing you as sannyasi, now I am seeing you as shama goparup, as a bluish black complexion, Krishna. What is happening? Mahaprabhu wanted to give darshan, but then he cannot directly give darshan. So he looks at Ramananda Rai, he says, oh, sarva bhuteshu yo pashyet bhagavan bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavatyatmani eshaha bhagavatottama. This is the definition of a great soul. He can see Krishna everywhere, including in me. But actually Mahaprabhu was showing darshan. So this is also glorification. So this glorification of Mahaprabhu's identity and glorification of Ramananda Rai's vision of Sarva Bhuta Atma Medasa. He is able to see Krishna in all forms at all times. So therefore, to conclude, we can also, as a take-home example, we can think that our life is actually a game. We are playing the game of fancy dress with Krishna. We are playing the fancy dress game. You see, in the fancy dress game, there are different kids who dress up like different things. There's a small little kid who comes up like a tree, dressed up like a tree, and gives some message. And then there's another person who comes up like a doctor. And as the child comes in, everyone sees, oh, that's a tree. Oh, that's a doctor. Oh, he's playing the role of a lawyer. But at the same time, the audience is also speaking. Who do you think is the child? Oh, the makeup. I think that is his son. Oh, I think that is his daughter. So what is the audience doing? Looking at the external, very quickly, they want to identify the person behind the fancy dress. So this life that we are playing of 70 years long, hopefully, is a game of fancy dress, where every individual who comes to us is in a different fancy dress attire. But the person who is playing it behind the living being is the Paramatma Sri Hari. Or another way we can understand is this 70-year life that we are playing, 70 years of life, the game that we are playing, is a game of hide and seek. Krishna is hiding as Paramatma in different bodies. And we succeed on how many Krishnas we are able to spot a day. Every day, how many Krishnas am I able to spot? Krishna is playing with us this game. I'm going to come in inconceivable ways, in different forms. I'm going to be hiding. I'm not going to be easily accessible. But you get a point if you can spot me. And we keep a note. Oh, I could catch 12 Krishnas today. I could catch 16 Krishnas today. So which means we're not saying that the soul is Krishna, but behind the soul, there is his eternal connection to Sri Hari. So therefore, if we are able to see that and tell ourselves, even if it is intellectual, then that is Sarvabhuta Atma Medasa. So in this way, we see that this one principle, dear devotees, we'll read the verse one more time. This is Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 2. And then we can wrap up. Dikshita Brahma Satrena Sarvabhuta Atma Medasa Pratichyam Dishivelayam Siddho Abhut Yatra Jajali. The Prachetas went to the seashore in the west where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal towards all living entities, the Prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. So this one principle can change our vision, can change our life. So thank you, Prabhupada, for giving us such beautiful English translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And thank you for giving us practical process of bhakti by which we can theoretically and practically, through knowledge and realization, experience this principle of Sarvabhuta Atma Medasaha. So thank you, dear devotees, for kindly participating today. And please forgive me for going over time and blabbering for such a long time. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, Mahabhulavishtu Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It's very enlightening and amazing class today. And you have shared so many good points and beautiful examples for understanding to us. Now, Prabhuji, you have time for questions?
Yes, Mataji, we can take a few questions.
dear devotees, please go ahead for questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Augusta Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna
Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful words, Prabhuji, and you have explained this very beautifully again and again. So, you know, it's very nice to hear, but it's very, for me, it's hard to apply in my life. You know, I have to work on it, Prabhuji. So for while doing administration, so many requests come, like, you know, do this, do that, do this. So sometimes we have to say no to someone, because if by one decision one person becomes happy and another becomes unhappy. So what should we do that time?
So an interesting example can be given in this regard. Daughter, mother, sister, wife. Yeah. All are women. But the way we deal with all four of them is different. So we are saying the vision should be that of connection to Krishna. But the activity, the way we approach, the way we act will be different. So mother, sister, wife and daughter, they are all women. So as soon as we see, we'll say this is Mataji. We know this is the feminine body. But the dealing is totally different. It's not that we deal with all Matajis the same way. So similarly, first thing is, yes, as they are all four Matajis, but the dealing is different. Identity is the same. The feminine body is the same, but the dealing is different. Similarly, all are spiritual spars belonging to Krishna. But my dealing will be different. It will not be the same. Respecting doesn't mean we will go and wash the lotus feet of every living being and drink. We have to use our intelligence. We have to use our intelligence. Just like even in our body, the eyes are also holes, nose are also holes, mouth is also hole, ear is also hole. They're all holes. But the way we deal with them is all different. I will make sure a sharp object doesn't come to my sensitive eyes. But yet at the same time, when there is food, I will put it in this mouth. They're all holes. But the way I deal with them is different. On the basis of what they are. So in this way, first is to connect that everybody belongs to Krishna. And then is to use discrimination on a spiritual standpoint.
Thank you so much, Babuji. Very nicely said. So I request devotees, please ask questions related
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Babuji.
Hare Krishna.
No offense to anyone, but why is it that the visit of any celebrity or political personalities to any of the ISKCON temple, it becomes the talk of the town and ISKCON WhatsApp or social media group? Because we see this practice happening all across in the materially conditioned other institutions. Kindly and share your thoughts and enlighten me. Hare Krishna.
My thought would be, I think it is a matter of great happiness and pride that Srila Prabhupada's movement is getting support from the government, from the political influential leaders. Because Prabhupada always wanted and Prabhupada always thought big that for our movement of Krishna consciousness to spread worldwide, it must have help. We cannot be socially extinct. We cannot be socially indifferent. So for us, for example, if we have to have Rath Yatra coming onto the main street of any city, we need to have legal permission. So we have to have very close connection with the government, with the influential leaders. So when the leaders, let's say Narendra Modi, walks into one of our ISKCON temples, it is a matter of great pride for Srila Prabhupada that the preaching movement has reached the eyes and the ears of the heads of the country. So now, if tomorrow ISKCON has to do something on a national or an international platform, then it's easier to approach the political heads and get things done. So I would see this as a very happy thing because they are empowered. They are empowered representatives. There is a reason why they are in political power and why they are selected by the Supreme Lord for a certain service that he expects out of them. So I think they're walking into our ISKCON temple is a matter of great pride, isn't it? Aren't you happy that they are coming in? Because now we get recognition from the government. So tomorrow, if we have to do some national event, it'll be very nice. And that naturally also we have to know that sometimes when let's put it like this, when there is flowing water and if we can put 3 drops of Yamuna in that, then all the water that goes in now is going to be Yamuna because it's mixed with the Yamuna. So the flow of the general public is towards attention given to the celebrities. So if somehow those celebrities are connected to ISKCON, then now that's a very nice outreach platform. We can connect with so many people who look up to that celebrity. So I think it's a very positive thing and we should have more and more nice relationships with all the leaders of the government. And I think Prabhupada would be very happy because Prabhupada would always think big. When Prabhupada was in the state of Oregon, our Danveer Maharaj explains that Prabhupada was in the car and there was a big board which said I love Coca-Cola. I cannot live without Coca-Cola. There were like two banners like that. And Prabhupada told Dhanvir Maharaj, can you write to the president of the Coca-Cola company to change his company's name to Hare Krishna? And then Prabhupada laughed and he said, then the banners will read, I love Hare Krishna. I cannot live without Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada smiled. It was just, you know, a happy joke. But the thing is, Prabhupada was thinking of connecting with the president of Coca-Cola to change the name. Now, whether that will happen or no is another thing. But that was Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada always gave interviews with news reporters. Now, that's a very, very interesting thing to do, because the news reporters will come up with articles in the newspaper and that will spread Krishna consciousness. So I think we have to move with time and whatever it takes to spread God consciousness in society. I think it's a very wonderful thought, I believe.
Thank you for enlightening my vision, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
I live in Canada and in a very, very small city, Regina. And because I'm a student, I live near university and all the apartments near the university are affected with cockroaches. So in order to, if we do not treat those cockroaches, then all the cockroaches like goes into the prasadam. And my apartment is fully affected with the cockroaches, and then it further spread the diseases. So I'm not sure, like in this scenario, what should I do? Because as a to become Krishna's devotee, we are not supposed to kill any living entity. But can you please enlighten me? What should I do in this scenario?
You should change your apartment. That's it. You should change your apartment. Not everyone in all the streets of Canada are affected with cockroach, right? Maybe it's a certain place. So you can change your apartment. Very simple. Be in a place where even if you have to take little more trouble traveling to the university, it's easier trouble traveling from longer distance to the university than going back to the cockroach body and coming back to the human form. The travel from a longer place to the university, that is an easier drive than the struggle of slipping from the human form, going to a cockroach body and coming back. That's a longer struggle. So I can't advise, but I think if I were you, I would change my apartment.
And I have killed some cockroaches, Prabhuji. What should I do for those?
The fact that in a public class like this, you're having the sincerity to switch on your video and say that, I think that in itself is the prayaschitta. Krishna has already forgiven, because you are feeling in your heart the remorse and the regret that you have done it. So please don't worry about what has happened in the past. Don't do it again in the future. And if we can become very sincere devotees, to the best, as much sincerity that we can amass, I think Krishna will protect us. Don't worry.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Some devotees raised hand for questions. Ritika Mataji, are you in line?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my Dandavat Pranams. I had a question regarding this. In case of crime, because there is so much of crime increasing in the society, and how do you look at such heinous criminals and like, you know, it's like they have done unpardonable things. Like, I don't want to describe them on the social platform, but then it's very hard to kind of, relate them. I don't know what to say, but I hope you understand my question.
Yeah. So when two friends are playing the role of, a skit, there are two friends, best friends. They are playing a drama skit, and one is a cop and another is a criminal. What would you think they would do on the stage of the drama? Would they embrace each other because they're best friends, or will they fight it out because they're playing the role of a cop and playing the role of a criminal? They would fight it out because that's their script, right? So similarly, we are supposed to see the living entity part and parcel of Krishna. That is our best friend relationship. But on the stage of this material world, we are all playing the drama. So if someone is playing the role of a criminal, although being the eternal part and parcel of Krishna, then the cop must do his duty and bash him up. He cannot at that time say, you belong to Krishna, I will embrace you to my heart. That is off the stage. The best friends are best friends off the stage. But when they are on the stage, the criminal does his duty and the cop does his duty. And that is the way they express their friendship on the stage. So similarly, yes, we have to see the person as part and parcel of Krishna. And not you and me, but the cop. And that too, if the person is really guilty, not framed. So if the legal procedures are all properly performed, I presume all those steps here, then the cop is supposed to do the needful by performing his duty of catching the criminal and administering punishment to him. Then that is the service that he is doing in the responsibility that God has given him. The role that Krishna has given him on the stage of this world, the dramatic stage of this world, the role that he has been given of a cop, he must do proper justice to that role. And that is his service to Krishna on a materialistic duty-bound service. And then that person who also belongs to Krishna, Krishna is using the cop to reprimand and purify him. So in that way, so we should not mix the two. Yes, he belongs to Krishna, but here in the stage of this material world, he's playing the role of a criminal, of a very heinous, bad criminal. So yes, my duty is also to play my script well and do what it takes to please the Supreme Lord.
Hare Krishna, P. Dasi Prabhuji, are you there?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I think you have answered the question I was about to ask. This question about Mataji has already asked. Thank you for your answer.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
So next one, Amit Grover Prabhuji, are there Prabhuji?
Mataji, I have just Prabhuji about the question which Mataji has previously asked, and the answer has already been given. I was having the same question. Thank you.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you. Anjali Mataji, are you there?
This could be the last question, yeah. Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji, my question is that we have a Shaligram Shila at home. We got one Shila, and I got to know that ladies should not serve Shaligram ji. So
Hare Krishna, I ask that question related only for the class, okay, please. No general questions, okay, because we don't have time, Mataji.
Okay, sorry Mataji. Okay, Mataji, thank you.
Uma Mataji, are you there?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
I am from India. My name is Uma. Prabhuji, अभी आपने बोला था कि जानवरों के साथ भी ऐसा करना चाहिए. मैं जो टड़ा में रहती हूँ इधर, आजू बाजू में भी गाय का ये होता है स्लॉटिंग, हाईवे में ही होता है. कितने बार मैं नीचे उतरी बात करने के लिए, कोई नहीं आता है. मैं अकेली हो गई थी. तो फिर हाउ कैन आई कंट्रोल माई सेल्फ इन दैट सिचुएशंस प्रभु. एंड आई वॉज अटेंडेड ऑल दामोदर क्लासेस, दामोदर लीला क्लासेस ऑल्सो. एंड थैंक यू वेरी मच. दिस इज माई काइंड रिक्वेस्ट टू कंट्रोल माई सेल्फ वेन आई सी दैट दोज टाइप ऑफ थिंग्स. सो दिस इज माई क्वेश्चन प्रभु जी, हाउ कैन आई कंट्रोल माई सेल्फ.
वेल आइडियली there must be an international revolution to stop cow slaughter. Even in India, when the beef ban took place, there was so much uproar against it. So even in one country to stop is a big task, what to speak of an international ban. So yes, ideally it should be done by groups. It cannot be done by individuals. It must be done by big groups in support with
politicians and leaders. But if you're not able to do anything, we should not waste our time thinking too much. We should instead do our bhajan and pray. We should pray. Because these things will keep happening. It is very unfortunate. We are not justifying. It should stop, and we should try to come together to do something. But if you're not able to do, then instead of thinking of that, we should think of Krishna and pray. Because our human life, our stay in the human body is coming to an end very soon. We are all coming closer and closer to death. And we don't know when. It's possible that we will be slaughtered by time factor before the other cows are slaughtered. So, Atmanam Sarvato Rakshet. Srila Prabhupada said, first of all, we should try to give protection to ourselves. Again, I reiterate, we should try to do, but if it's not possible, then instead of thinking of all that, we should pray to Krishna and try to make spiritual advancement and leave this material world. It's a very disgusting place. Saraswati Thakur said, it's not a place for gentlemen. So this is my thought.
Okay, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Prabhuji, don't have time, so we can end the call here. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for an enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you, and we look forward to your association again in the future. Let pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vanchakalpa sarvebhyo kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Lord Grace Amarendra Prabhuji ki jai.
Ananta Koti Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Jai.
Nandar Pranam Prabhu Hare Krishna. Nandar
Pranam Prabhuji Hare Krishna.
Nandar Pranam Prabhuji Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu.